Praise God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Age to age, he never changes. Praise God. We want to welcome all of our guests this evening. If you're here in the house and you're a guest of ours, we want you to feel at home. We're glad that you are with us. Hopefully you received a connection card. If you didn't, we'd encourage you to get one of those before you leave, either from the kiosk or from one of the ushers. And if you will just fill out a few points of information, we have a small gift for you. We want to show you our appreciation. Of course, online you can do the same thing, except it would be at the bit.ly link. And the information is there on the screen. We just want to let you know how welcome you are and how happy we are to have you with us. Amen. If you are able to give, we want to encourage you to do so. The giving options are also going to be on your screen there. You can give in the offering box that's out on the kiosk in the vestibule, or you can mail it in to our street address, which is listed there. You can go to our website and give directly through the website, or you can go to our church app, which is Church Center. You can download that and give to Calvary Gospel Church through that app. Make sure you're giving to Calvary Gospel Church, okay, if you do that. There are other churches on that app. Then if you want to give to Mother's Memorial, you need to designate accordingly. Mother's Memorial is an annual fundraiser that the ladies are in charge of, and it raises funds for a number of things, including supporting missionaries with materials to make ends meet on the mission field, but also they support Bible students on the foreign field, and many of our ministries, from children's ministries to Tupelo Children's Mansion, many different ministries supported by Mother's Memorial, and we have now a promotion for that.
Rejected by her parents, learn to love again? Can a young lady struggling with addiction find freedom? Can an abandoned daughter rediscover hope?
At Tupelo Children's Mansion, children from all walks of life find a home of healing. Boys, girls, children, teenagers, all needing a heavenly father.
Can that rejected little girl learn to love again? She can. Can that young lady overcome her addiction? She can. Can that abandoned child find hope? She can.
Thanks to the generosity of Ladies Ministries, these children's lives are forever changed. Proverbs 31:25 says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future." Because of your giving, these children will have hope, a new life, and a new future.
Almost daily, we receive applications of children in unbelievable circumstances. Through the brokenness and heartache, can she find a Savior?
Thanks to you, she can.
She can.
She can. Thank you, ladies, for giving to Mother's Memorial.
Amen. We also have, we are blessed at Calvary Gospel Church to have the district men's director, Pastor Jerry Simmons. And if you haven't received today, as you came in, one of these little pieces of information about men's camp coming up, please make sure that you get one before you go. The ushers do have them. If you want one at this time, they'd be willing to put one in your hands. We do have a promotional video for men's camp as well. We'll be right back. Then this week coming up on Friday, May 6th, we have all church prayer at 7 o'clock. There you go. And Sunday, Mother's Day service at 11 o'clock. Yay for the mothers. And remember, that's the 11 o'clock service, so we will have our normal 10 a.m. Service beforehand, so you can be there for both. Isn't God good? Amen. Let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our pastor, I think, is almost home or on his way home or near home. We want to keep Pastor and Sister Lois in prayer. And we also want to pray for Sister Caskey, who's not feeling well tonight. Let's continue to keep our bishop in prayer as well. And there are a number of other needs that people that are here that aren't feeling well. If you need prayer, you would like someone to pray with you, go ahead and lift up your hand at this time. And we'll include you, remember you in prayer. Maybe if someone's near you and you feel comfortable, they can pray with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we know, O God, that you are faithful. We're grateful, Lord God, that we can come to you knowing that you hear our prayers. I pray, Lord God, for your anointing on this, your people, as we pray for one another, as we pray for this service, that your Spirit would anoint our hearts and minds to pray with faith, but that those that are especially in need of healing, that your virtue, God, would flow even by faith, O God, from this prayer and from our hands one to another. We pray, O God, for Bishop Grant, for strength and healing in his body, for your hand of protection upon our pastor and his wife. We pray, O God, for your blessing and healing virtue for Sister Caskey this evening. We pray for this service, that all of us that are here in this place will be sensitive to the voice of your Spirit as you use the man of God to speak to our hearts. Anoint Pastor Jerry, anoint our ears to hear and our hearts, O God, to be open to receive your word. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord.
More than words could ever say.
you just lift your hands to the Lord for a moment and just, let's just give Him our attention, our praise, our worship. There's a lot of things during a week that we can drag into church. It happens in a job or school or at home, but for just a few moments, let's just clear our minds of all those things and focus on Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we praise You right now, Lord. We thank You, God. Lord, we so appreciate You, God, and Your ministry to us, Lord God, Your everlasting love and affection for us, Lord Jesus. We praise Your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. If you're first time here, I want you to understand, I'm not the pastor. We have lots of pastors in our church, but we have one main pastor. His name is Roy Grant. He's just not here right now. He's been preaching out east, and we're going to be having him back home for Mother's Day, and we're excited for that. We'd love for you to meet him, so you should come back on Mother's Day this weekend so you can meet our pastor, Pastor Roy Grant. I'd like to turn your attention to a scripture, Matthew 5, 3, and 3 and verse 4 as well. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Amen. That's an awesome promise of God. Those are the words of Jesus Christ Himself. And I'm going to allude to some of that in the Bible study tonight. We have been studying, how many has been enjoying God's Word for Life on Sunday mornings at the 10 a.m.? If you guys are using the take-home studies for your children or for yourself, you should be advancing a lot as far as when you come in here, you should be kind of primed and ready to go. This whole last month, the lessons have all been around, focused around a character study of the life of Joseph. Has anybody figured that out yet? I'm the kind of guy that might come two or three times before I figure out, oh, yeah, this is like the, oh, yeah, we're going in order. It's like the life of Joseph. This is, yeah, so. But the life of Joseph, now, this last, we typically, all the pastors on staff, we have kind of a rotation, and we come in about once every month, and we do our lesson, and then we get ready for the next month. So we all, we kind of divvy up the preaching order on those Sunday mornings to try to give some variety. This last month, the Lord kind of spoke to me before the lesson and had kind of was speaking some stuff into my spirit about Joseph, and I was like super excited and pumped. I even got on the app with the pastor staff, and I'm like, hey, this is awesome. God's like talking to me about the stuff on my lesson. It's exact scriptures and everything. Come to find out the day I was supposed to get up and do the lesson, I got really sick. I couldn't even speak. My throat was messed up. I couldn't come to church. Ended up about a week and a half later, got close to some people with COVID. Don't know if I had it. I don't know if I gave it. I don't know what happened. But it wasn't like COVID 1.0, because 1.0 was terrible. 2.0, I didn't even have the same symptoms. So, but the thing that God was speaking to me about Joseph stayed in my spirit. So tonight I'm going to bring you some of that today, or tonight. This is a Bible study, so just relax with me. Here in a few moments, I'm going to have some points, okay? I got a lot of points. And so to make the points more interesting for everyone involved, after I say a point, I would like you just to start counting them down for me, okay? So if I make the point, I'll point to you, and whatever number we're on, you're going to just say it out loud. So let's just practice for a moment one time. Let's do it three times. Just make sure you have it down right. So I make the point. And you go, number one. I make the point, and you go, I make the point, and you go, okay, so we have a lot of them, so you'll have to keep up, just for fun, to make it a little bit more interactive, and I don't want you to fall asleep on me. And something I also do occasionally whenever I'm teaching is I have everyone stand up, so let's all stand up. I want you to stretch real big. It's been such a nice day today, I just kind of want to go home myself.
But we're going to have 1 hour, about 30 more minutes of teaching. So I want you to get some oxygen flowing in your blood, because some of this is going to be kind of deep. So I want you just to engage as much as possible with me for the next 30 minutes, all right? And you may be seated. When I was in Bible school, I didn't know a lot when I went there. I didn't know there wasn't a book of Hezekiah. There was a lot of things. I didn't know there were four Gospels in the Bible. There was a lot of things I didn't understand. I didn't know until I got there. The first class that I jumped in Bible school was typology with Kelsey Griffin. I didn't know what typology was. I didn't know where to find that in the Bible either, and it's not there. But the idea of typology is very simple. And I'll be leaning on some of my Bible school notes tonight, and I'm still digesting some of the statements of Kelsey Griffin from 20 years ago. And I'm not going to lie, that dude made my brain hurt. It was painful in the class. Not that I was not enjoying it. It was just so much information. Have you ever been in a situation where so much information is coming at you that your brain starts to kind of sizzle in the background? And you're like, I think I'm kind of done here. I'm going to have to take a break. And it was interesting. That would happen the first hour. There would be two or three more hours in the day that I have to go back in there and burn my brain some more. So hopefully tonight, no one goes home feeling so afflicted as I had in those early days in Bible school. But you guys know a lot more about the Bible than whenever I showed up to Bible school. So I'm thankful I'm preaching to some receptive ears. And if you're not, if you don't know a lot, if you were in God's Words for Life in the last 4 weeks, you heard some awesome teaching and preaching on the life of Joseph. And so I'm going to be in that vein tonight with you. So just to kind of give you an idea of what typology is, Adam was a type of Jesus' headship, okay? So it's kind of like a shadow. Jesus was the real thing, and he cast a shadow, and the shadow was Adam. It's a way of looking at it. A type and shadow, or a typology. He was a type of. Noah would be a type of Jesus' refuge. He made the ark, saved humanity. And so he became a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the authentic Savior of the world. Noah just saved him by the skin of his teeth, basically, just a few of them. Melchizedek, he was a priest. He was a type of Jesus' priesthood, which is different than the Aaronic priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood was the ones that were under Moses, but Melchizedek came before all of that. And we tie Jesus' priesthood all the way back to Melchizedek. He was just a priest of God that wasn't under Mosaic law, but under just faith in God. Moses was a type of Jesus as a prophet. Okay, so he was a type of Jesus in Jesus' prophecy. And David would be a type of Jesus as a king. So does everyone kind of get the idea what typology is? It's a really fancy word for, it's kind of the Old Testament kind of relating to Jesus in the New Testament. And in fact, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, almost all of the information that's found in there has some typology built into it that God was trying to reveal himself in the New Testament through that. And what Paul called that is, he called the Old Testament or the law the schoolmaster that would bring us to Christ. So it was kind of like someone, it's like you going into school and you're learning all of the arithmetic, and you're like, I don't know if I want to learn all this math, and going through Leviticus kind of feels that way. But then later you're like, dude, all those little intricate details of the temple, all of that was a typology of Christ and his deity, Christ and his authority, Christ and his humanity, and all of that. And so tonight, just kind of doing a brief overview of a glancing over of typology. And so just for the fun of it tonight, if you remember when I make a point so that we don't have to make every scripture reference, that you'll just count them off for me, that'd be great. Are you guys prepared to do that? Let's practice real fast. Again, one more time. Point one. Point two. Okay. So it's going to be fun in just a moment. Joseph is the most perfect type of Jesus in his character. In fact, not one sin is listed against Joseph in Genesis. And it's interesting that God allowed 13 chapters of Genesis to be written about Joseph's life. He was an extremely important character in how we understand the entire Old Testament. He was crucial. He literally was the closest type and character to Jesus Christ. If you looked at Joseph's life, you can pick hundreds and hundreds of details about his life that were very similar to what happened to Jesus Christ himself. And so Joseph was the most perfect type of Jesus in character. Not one sin listed, 13 chapters of Genesis devoted to him. He was just an awesome dude. If Jesus and Joseph were seated in the back corner at the East Side Buffalo Wild Wings tonight after service, just them two, they would have a lot of things to talk about because they have a lot in common. I'm not talking about their affinity for Asian zing or Parmesan garlic, but I'm more so talking about the things that happen in their life. Have you ever met someone that you had a lot of stuff in common with them and you could talk about some deep things? Jesus and Joseph could have those kind of conversations with each other that some of us would never be able to even have with people that we love. But, you know, if you ever met someone and gone through the same things that you've gone through, you're able to relate to each other. I can just imagine the conversation. Maybe they would talk about the mutual shared types of rejection that they faced in their life. Maybe they could talk about the abandonment that they felt, or the humiliation, or the betrayal. Maybe they could talk about the conquering or the saving of their people. Maybe it would be something lighter. And so tonight I'm going to go down through some typology points, and you're going to help me number them off so we don't fall asleep, because there's a lot. But the very first point in Genesis chapter 37, verse number 2, it starts off as the introduction to basically Joseph's entire life. And from there it goes all the way on to Genesis chapter 50. The whole end of it is Joseph's life. But literally, Joseph is a good shepherd and a chief shepherd. He's in charge. And literally, he had that in common with Jesus Christ. So, one. And his brothers just happened to give a negative or an evil report about Joseph in verse number 2. And that same thing happened to Jesus. His brothers gave a negative report. He was loved. Joseph was loved by his father as a model son. And Jesus was also loved by his father as a model son. But he was hated by his brothers, and they didn't even believe. His brothers never even believed him. Right? So do you see these lessons? So just to let you know, there's a scripture. I have scriptures for both sides of this, but I'm not going to mention them all tonight because I got only 25 more minutes. But in Genesis, just for illustration, Genesis 37:11 says that they delivered Joseph because of their envy. And Mark 15:10 says that Jesus was delivered because of envy as well. Five. And so they rejected his confident claims, the brothers did, saying that he will not, quote unquote, reign over us. And so that same exact statement was said about Jesus Christ. He was sent to his brethren, and he said this statement, "Here am I." Same thing Jesus did. He came seeking his own brethren, and that's the same thing Jesus did. He came after his own brethren first. Okay. He was his own received him not, though. Nine. They conspired against him, right? Ten. And so, if you can imagine, about this point in time, Jesus and Joseph, they're sitting in Buffalo Wild Wings. Finally, the waitress walks up and says, "Welcome to B-Dubs. What can I get you guys to drink, gentlemen?" And Jesus orders the water with lemon, obviously, because that would be what Jesus would probably order, some water. Joseph probably ordered a Mountain Dew. We're on number 11, by the way. So they begin to start their conversation again. And Joseph in Genesis 37:19 reminds Jesus that they accused him of making himself a king and said the statement, "We shall see." And that same exact thing happened to Jesus in Mark 15:32 and Luke 23:2. 11. Genesis 37:23 says that they stripped him of his clothing. And Matthew 27:28, same thing happened to Jesus. Say it with me, 12. We can say it with confidence and in unity, okay? Genesis 37:24, they put Joseph in a pit. Psalm 40:2 and Psalm 69:2 refers to the pit that Jesus was put into. Genesis 37:28 says he was sold for the price of a slave. And Jesus was also sold for the price of a slave. He was not found in the pit, though, when they came back to look for him. And Jesus was also not found in the grave when they came back to look for him. His garments were covered in blood. And Jesus' garments were covered in blood in Revelations 19:13-16. Everyone prospered in his hand. And Isaiah 53:10 says the same thing about Jesus. Everyone prospers in Jesus' hand. Others were blessed for his sake in Genesis 39:5, and Ephesians 1:3 says the same thing about Jesus. All power was given to Joseph. And the same thing was all power was given to Jesus Christ in Matthew 28:18. He was tempted before his ministry began. And Joseph was tempted before his ministry began, right? Bathsheba, or not Bathsheba, Potiphar's wife. Oh, sorry. And Jesus was tempted by Satan before his ministry began as well. What number are we on? 20. He did not fall to the temptation in 39:9. And in Hebrews 4:15 says that Jesus didn't fall to the temptation as well. False witnesses were used against him. Joseph, in Joseph's life, same thing, Mark 14:57, false witnesses against Jesus Christ. 22, say it loud, confidence, conviction. All right, I said, I don't want you to start going to sleep on me, or I'll have to just quit doing this, because this is a nice little list here. I'm trying to just teach for a minute. Is your brain smoking yet? Okay, don't let it start smoking. False witnesses, again, were used against him in this situation. In Mark 14:57, he was bound as a prisoner. This is number 23, by the way. Joseph was bound as a prisoner, and Jesus was also bound as a prisoner. Thank you. Two people were incarcerated with Jesus, and with Joseph, and two people were incarcerated with Jesus. 24. He offered life to one of them, and Jesus also offered life to one of them. Death came to the other, all right? Same thing on the cross. One of them, death came to him, but life was offered to the other. Where are we at? Jesus asked to be remembered, and Joseph also asked to be remembered. But he was forgotten, and Ecclesiastes 9:15 prophesies of how Jesus was forgotten. He did not deserve to go to prison. And Jesus also didn't deserve to go to prison. He came out of the dungeon to reign, though. Amen. The waitress returns with the drinks. Are you guys interested in an appetizer? And Jesus speaks up. We are here for the wings. I'll take 5 original buffalo. I'll take 5 orange chicken. I'll take 5 Thai curry and 5 of those blazing Carolina Reapers. Joseph speaks up, I will do the same, but not the Reapers. Jesus, are you serious? Looks at the waitress and says, give me 5 of those lemon peppers. Extra blue cheese and celery sticks, please. And they move on. Joseph looks at Jesus and said, literally the government of that entire nation and all of the nations around were placed upon my shoulders. And Jesus said in Isaiah 9:6, the government was also placed upon my shoulders. Joseph, after that, received a Gentile bride, and Jesus also received a Gentile bride. Everyone had to bow to Joseph, and every knee shall bow to Jesus, Philippians 2:10. All the things that were to happen in that time frame, Pharaoh said they had to be done in Joseph's name. And the same thing in our time frame, everything has to be done in Jesus' name. He gathered an abundance of treasure, 41 through 49 says that he gathered an abundance of treasure. Ephesians 3:8-20 talks about Jesus gathering an abundance of treasure. Verse number 52 of 41 says he obtained much fruit. John 12:24, Jesus is also obtaining much fruit. Genesis 41:55, it says he's the only one to whom we must go. And John 6:68 says the same thing about Jesus. Whatever he said, the statement was made, whatever he saith to do, do that. In John chapter 2, they said the exact same thing about Jesus in verse number 5. The king literally would could only be approached at that point in time through Joseph. The Pharaoh can only be approached through Joseph. He was in control of everything. And so if you wanted to talk to the king, you had to go through Joseph. And the same exact statement was made of Jesus Christ. If you wanted to come to God, you had to go through Jesus Christ. Amen? 39. Verse 55 of 41 says that he was to be obeyed. John 5:23 says the same thing about Jesus. 40. He alone could open the storehouse. And John 3:35 says the same thing about Jesus. The famine that Joseph was dealing with was said to be all over the world in verses 56 through 57. And Luke 15:14 says the exact same thing about the famine of sin that's across the entire planet. So, 42. So you have to be a real Bible nerd to be into all this stuff. If you're not a Bible nerd, I'm going to get to the point here in just a minute, but I got a lot more points, so just keep counting loud with me, okay? The famine was all over the world. Okay, now we're on 43. The storehouses were open in verse number 56, and Malachi 3:10 says the storehouses will be opened by Jesus Christ. 43. Verse number 57 says that his supply extended to all the countries. Isaiah 49:6 says the exact same thing about Jesus. But they did not know him in verse number 8 of 42. But John 1:10-11 says they did not know Jesus either. Verse number 22 of 42 says that his blood would be required, which is the most weirdest statement in the middle of that. Because they never actually asked for his blood to be required, but it was in Scripture that Joseph's blood might be required. Matthew 27:25 says the exact same thing about Jesus. I'm going to skip one. Let me come back to 47 after a little bit, okay? Genesis 42:25 says that he filled their sacks, and John 1:16 alludes to the exact same thing. Genesis 42:25 says he restored the money. And Isaiah 55, verse number 1, is a prophecy of the exact same thing in Jesus. He gave them provision for the way, literally by that statement. Philippians 4:19 says the exact same thing about Jesus. The waitress returns with the wings. Refills anybody? And Joseph says, sure, I'll take another dew, please. And that moves us on to we're halfway there, just halfway. Now, I want you to understand something. I deleted about 150 of these. But I wanted to do 100 of them with you today. So this is one small part of a typology class that would normally last me 3 to 4 weeks at ABI. This is just a little bit. So don't feel burdened. But this is going to be good for you to understand that when you read of the life of Joseph, you really do see a lot of typology in Jesus Christ. Some of it may not. The more you study it, the more scary how close it is and weird it is. But it's literally dead on in many of these things. Genesis 43:16 says that he literally brought them home. In Luke 15:23, Jesus says the exact same thing. 51. 52 says that all was made to be ready. Matthew 22, verse number 4, Jesus says the same thing. Verse number 18 of 43 says that they were afraid, speaking of his brothers. 1 John 4:18 says the exact same thing about Jesus. They communed with him, literally. They sat down and communed with him, and that same thing is spoken of in John 1:37-40. They tried to use their own money, but Romans 10:3, the same thing happened to Jesus, and it was rejected. Literally, it says that his peace was upon him in verse 23 in Romans 15:13. The exact same thing is said about Jesus. Genesis 43:34 says that they were merry with him. And Luke 15:24 says the exact same thing about Jesus. Verse number 34 says that Joseph forgave them all. Matthew 6:14-15 says the exact same thing about Jesus. as he said that you can take as much as you can carry in verse chapter 44, verses number 1. John 5:11 alludes to the exact same thing. Genesis 44:15 says that he can know the heart about Joseph, which was literally a weird statement. When you think about it, just a normal man, they said that he can know men's hearts. Genesis 17:10 literally is a prophecy of Jesus doing that exact same thing. Joseph manifested omniscience. Literally, his rule was omniscient, so to speak. John 1:47-48, Jesus is omniscient in all the galaxy, not just in Egypt. So what number are we on? 61. I'm going to read these faster. And they were literally speechless. The statement, God has found us out, was made about Joseph and Jesus. He made himself known to them. He was reconciled to his brethren. The second time he was made known to his brethren. And they were troubled at his presence. He said, I am Joseph. And whenever Jesus revealed himself, he said, I am Jesus who thou persecuted. Acts chapter 9, verse number 5. Come near to me was a statement that he made. God sent him. He was sent as a savior. He was sent to prepare a place. He came to take out a people. He wrought a great deliverance. He recognized the foreknowledge of God. How are your wings, boys? Awesome. Here are some extra napkins. Let me top off that water for you. Genesis 45:9 says that he went from suffering to glory. 1 Peter 1:11 says the same thing about Jesus. Verse number 11 says he would nourish them. John 6:35 says the same thing. He makes a statement, behold, it is me. Same thing Jesus said. Another statement was made, said, ye shall tell my father. His brethren talked with him. They regard not your stuff. Philippians 3:13 says the exact same thing about Jesus. He is still alive. It was not believed. And so the statement of Joseph, like, he's actually still alive, and the same statement was made about Jesus whenever it was revealed that he's not dead, he's still alive. Or he is alive. Which number are we on? 83. The statement was made, now let me die in his older age. Jesus said similar things in Luke 2:29-30. He called them his brethren. Hebrews 2:11, Jesus did the same thing. The seed was to sow and to eat. Isaiah 55:10, same thing was prophesied about Jesus. He acted as a stranger to his brethren. In John 14:9, the same statement was made about Jesus. He was called the greatest of forgivers in 50:19. In Luke 23:34, the same thing. He is called a vine in verse 22 of 49. In John 15:5, the same thing about Jesus. He was a man of grief. 49:23, the same thing is said about Jesus, 55:3. At this point in time, we're down to 90, right? We're at 90. Here's the check, guys. Let's look. It looks like you got a hold of one of those reapers. I see tears welling up. Do you need a to-go box, Jesus? No, ma'am. I haven't even gotten to the reapers yet. I have 10 more to go. Genesis 49:24 says his hands were made strong, and Psalm 89:19 is a prophecy of Jesus' hands being made strong. Genesis 49:24 says he is the stone of Israel, and Matthew 21:42 says similar things about Jesus. Genesis 49:25 says there's blessings on his head. Hebrews 1:9 says the same thing about Jesus. Genesis 49:26 says he was separated from his brethren. Hebrews 7:26 says the same thing about Jesus. He saved much people alive. He told them not to fear. He received a extra birthright. Others didn't grieve at his affliction. Lamentations 1:12 is a prophecy of Jesus, that same thing happening. The Lord has blessed him. Ephesians 1:3 says the same thing about Jesus. There was no blot on his life. Genesis 50:21 about Joseph's life. 1 Peter 2:22 says the same thing about Jesus. 100. The sermon title today is 100 Reasons Not to Cry. It takes a little while to get through all those 100 reasons, so I better read fast on the rest of this. Just as I said, as Adam is a type of Jesus' headship, and Noah was a type of Jesus' refuge, Melchizedek was a type of Jesus' priesthood, Moses was a type of Jesus as a prophet, David was a type of Jesus as a king, but Joseph represented Jesus as a savior. Joseph represented Jesus as a servant, and Joseph represented Jesus in suffering. The typology of Joseph was most like the character of Jesus. While Jesus was a king and he was a prophet, he was most identified as a savior. Joseph had 100 reasons, in my opinion, not to cry. When you think about all of the different things that happened in Joseph's life at the very end, Joseph literally was a winner. He was a hero. He wasn't poor. He wasn't a slave. He wasn't even a servant anymore. Joseph was not the same boy that was left in the pit. He had moved on, and he was successful. He was prominent. He was wealthy. He was powerful. He did not need anything from anyone, especially didn't need any tears. Joseph, in my opinion, had 100 reasons not to cry. Brothers literally hated him to death. They sold him into slavery. He lost his coat of many colors, his prominence in his family, his loving father's guidance. He lost his home and his homeland. He lost his freedom. No doubt he lost his trust in people. His father never even came to investigate his death. An excerpt from the book Whistling in the Dark says, "You never know what may cause them. The sight of the Atlantic Ocean can do it, or a piece of music, or a face you've never seen before. A pair of someone's old shoes can do it. Almost any movie made before the great sadness that came over the world after the Second World War, a horse cantering across a meadow, a high school basketball team running out on the gym floor at the start of a game, you can never really be sure. But of this you can be sure. Whenever you find tears in your eyes, especially unexpected tears, it is well to pay attention, close attention, to those tears. They are not only telling you something about the secret of who you are, but most often they're telling you about what God is speaking to you through them and of the mystery of where you have come from and the summoning of where you should be going. If your soul is to be saved, you should do the next thing where the tears are calling you." We have all had moments of unexpected tears, and somehow they of all things become the most memorable moments of our lives. Somehow it's the tears that define us. They define our character. Genesis 42:24. The one I skip, it begins to speak about the weeping of Joseph. The scripture says, "And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them." I see this as unexpected tears. I don't think that he was ready for what was about to happen to him. The most powerful man on the face of the planet, at the sight of his brothers, began to cry. Genesis 43:29 says, "And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber, and he wept there. Joseph's crying again. Genesis 45, a couple chapters later, verse number 14 says, he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and he wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And moreover, he kissed all his brethren, and he wept upon them. And after this, his brethren talked with him. Verse number 50 says, and Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him, and he kissed him. Jesus also had such moments. Whenever he came up to the city of Jerusalem, Luke 19:41 says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. I don't think that was a planned event for Jesus. I think he might have had a different hope of what was about to happen with him and what was to happen with Jerusalem. But for whatever reason, their rejection of him caused him to look upon the city and weep unexpectedly. Unexpected tears. The city of his desire was also the city of his death. Unexpected tears. When he saw the skyline of the temple and the people in the streets, he was overwhelmed with emotion and tears began to flow. Joseph was the most powerful man in Egypt. Jesus was the most powerful man in the universe. Tears began to flow. Yes, Jesus and Joseph had a lot to talk about. Joseph, like all of us, are never going to be able to one-up Jesus in our stories, no matter how hard we try in our prayers. Jesus has already been there. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. I don't think the word feelings is in the Bible anywhere else but that one scripture. The feelings. Many more times Jesus wept, and time will not allow me tonight to expound upon them. What is the application tonight? Let's all stand. Where do unexpected tears come from anyway? Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For just a moment, would you just let me change a word there? Let these tears be in you who are also in Christ Jesus. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to death on the cross. Why? This is the answer to why we're even here, why we keep coming here week after week, Wednesday after Wednesday, why we keep opening our Bible. This is the why. If you follow Jesus' trail of tears through Scripture, you will find him trying to redeem you, to save you. Even though we've rejected him, we're still on his mind. Even though he doesn't need to cry, there's still tears in his eyes for you. They reveal the passion and the purpose and the love that Christ has for his people. What do you cry for? Unexpected tears, I believe, to those that are filled with the Holy Ghost, are indicators of where God may be calling you, what things you need to fix in your life, Maybe it's a city that you drive through and tears well up in your eyes. Maybe it's when you look at this youth group and you feel something that causes tears to form in your eyes. Your life may be very busy. You might have 100 reasons not to cry in that moment, but everything stops. And God's trying to show you something right now. How many tears have we forgotten? 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, "And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice in it." Literally, we have people that are struggling with terrible sicknesses right now. And I've seen the tears well up in their eyes, but I've also seen them well up in others' eyes for them. Isn't that what it's all about here, family? Our brothers, our sisters. Isaiah 25 says, "He will swallow up death and victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken." This is a prophecy. God wanted this prophecy to go forth. I'm going to wipe away every tear. Revelation 7:17 says, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of lemon water." I'm joking. "And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes." God shall wipe away, in chapter 21, verse number 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." This life is a shadow, a type of what's to come. We're not there yet. But we can find out what it's going to be like here. Some of these tears are indicators of why this place is terrible. But when we get there, there won't be any more tears. So I went about 5 minutes over, but if you would, maybe I'm going to organize the altar call a little bit tonight. If you feel like the tears that you have been wrestling with, those unexpected moments where God has been speaking to you about things you might not even be able to talk about, but maybe it's related to you, something that he wants you to go do, I want you to come down here on this side, and I want you just to pray about that. If you're in the ministry, I want you to come and pray with these folks that are trying to seek out what those tears mean to them. If you are struggling with other tears that are about the pain that you're facing in your life right now, the stuff that's going on, whatever it is, family problems, situations, health, whatever it is, I want you to come down here, right here, and I want you just to pray for just a few minutes. God wants to wipe away those tears in the future, but he can do it now as well. Amen. And if you just want to go back to a place where tears meant something to you, maybe you feel cold and it's been too long, but you remember a day when those hot tears streamed down your face and emotion ran through you, and you felt more alive than you ever did before, but you've let life just take away the joy and the feeling and the emotion of life. I want you to come over here and just pray. But if you would just all just come on down, we're just going to pray for just a few minutes. We're not going to take forever. I know that the Bible study was a little intense, but that's okay. Let's all come down and pray for these situations. I'm asking that right now we'll just pray to God. Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch every one of these separate situations, God. We ask you to lay your hand on those that are feeling called to do something for you. When they look upon the city or the ministry or the people, they have tears welling up in their eyes as you did over Jerusalem, God. I ask you, God, those that are struggling in body and in mind and family and finance and all of the things that come against them, Lord, causing tears of pain and sorrow, God, I ask you that you'll come beside them and be a comforter tonight, Lord. Those that are feeling dry tonight, Lord God, that they want to go back, Lord Jesus, where they didn't act upon those, the tears that you had for them, Lord God. Or maybe they just somehow let life slow them down, or just they feel faded, Lord God. I ask you, God, for a renewal, a restoration, a revival in their life, Lord, tonight, God. We ask you, God, that you will touch, Lord, every single situation, every single person who's come in faith, Lord, believing, God, that you are their provider, you're their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the one that can save them, God. That we call on your name, Jesus, in Jesus' name, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, you'll touch everyone who's here tonight that's acting in faith, Lord, and believing, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've
Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't the Word of God amazing? I'm so grateful God has chosen to reveal Himself to His people through His Word. Remember Friday evening, all church prayer at 7 o'clock. And this Sunday is Mother's Day. If you haven't made plans for your how you're going to honor the mother in your life, then you better get on it right now, because it's going to come real fast. In Jesus' name.